you say that it's time to step down to focus your energies on the Center for Youth. Why is that? Why is this such a critical time for that organization?
Well, you know, I did write an op-ed a few weeks ago, and I think that for me, this has been on my mind. Also, Beth, you know, we don't have any term limits as city council. We have to self-monitor. We have to sort of, you know, it's like if you ask someone, you know, do I need to lose weight? And they're like, no, you look fine. And you look at them, you're like, I know myself. So there are times when you say yourself, 12 years, the city deserves new, fresh ideas and other kinds of things. So that's part of it as well. 12 years, I had given myself 8 years, and then I ran again because we were in the middle of so many things. So I want people to understand I'm not going away from public service. What I'm seeing, because of what I'm going to say, a perfect storm, other agencies just walking away from homeless programs because they're very difficult to do and difficult to fund. So we have that happening. We have unstable, to say the least, a government approaches and funding. And then at the same time, we have this huge influx of needs for kids older, 16 and up, but nobody really wants to serve the younger kids. It's tough, tough work. So I'm the one to do it. I've been doing it. The team right now at the center is positioned to do an enormous amount of work, actually at all levels, working with the city, with the county, with the state, trying very, very hard to identify how the homeless population, our young mothers in particular, are contributing to our poverty index. We keep describing poverty, but I'd like to really dig down and say, how is it happening? Why is it happening? And for me, a lot of it has to do with the complete lack of any emergency care, any emergency services for homeless teens.
You mentioned in that Democrat and Chronicle editorial, I believe, a program where people could open up their own homes to, yeah, to young people who are homeless. What is that called and how does that work?
Well, the host home program used to be called Temporary Emergency Family Program. It's a statewide program, but no one's doing it quite the way we are anymore. It's sort of gone out of fashion, and who knows why. Maybe it's because of, you know, liability. But for us, even here in our community, the host home family identifies people just like you and me and others who have a spare bedroom, who have the energy, who may be empty nesters, who may have their own teens and want to bring in somebody else, who open their doors after being certified by the state. They come and look at the house, obviously, and do some background checks. And our program that we're really hoping to get off the ground will be a place where a young mother, let's say a 17-year-old trying to finish school with a five-month-old, can go and be about 3 months with a family who can show them really what it means to be a family, how you care for a child. They're not alone. And in the meantime, we at the center can begin to put some more permanent and structured housing in place. Right now, if you are 17, you're trying to finish high school, and something happens in the family, your own family, you can't stay there, you are likely to come into our homeless shelter, and the baby is likely to go to the crisis nursery, separating a mom and a baby, a parent and a baby. And we know how that feels down at Borders, and we don't want to have it happen here in Rochester. So while the pregnancy rate has dropped, and we're so grateful for that, we still have a large number of young ones, young parents, for whom stable housing is just not there. We believe, you know, if we could find 10 or 12 families in our community, we could stem that and really make something happen. That's also the benefits to that family. We've had people report, I mean, my own family over the years, you know, has taken in RET students when I was there. And it's quite a benefit for the family itself to understand. Sometimes you like to talk the talk. This is walking the walk. And it's not to say it's a life sentence. It's not foster care. It's not, you know, to be done lightly. But obviously it is something that we think has some merit to it, could really solve a problem.
Back to politics for a moment. On city council, you sometimes would cast a dissenting vote. And when someone of long standing, such as yourself, of a dozen years, leaves, that can, you know, create a power shift on council.
Well, you know, I've always tried to be kind of an independent voice, not to just be an obstructionist, you know, just for the sake of it. But I've been voting no more, and I know people are noticing for large scale studies. And part of it is for me that I really want to make sure when we do that, there's something that comes out of it. So I've been doing that a bit more. I've also been very careful to weigh my vote and to let people know it's okay to vote. No, it used to be. I mean, Louise Slaughter was the first person. When I was being recruited by Bob Duffy and others at 12 years ago to say, honey, you can vote no, and you know you have the power to vote, and your record stands. So we shouldn't be afraid to dissent if we do it for the right reason. I don't believe in revenge politics. There's a lot of that going out. I'm trying to stay off social media because as much as I am, my husband says, you're so beloved, the phone is ringing off the hook in Facebook, and I'm like, yeah, but there's people out there say, good, I'm glad she's gone. And you don't know. I don't know them, and they certainly don't know me. But social media has made it so easy to, and the whole tenure of politics is when the way people are talking to each other. It's made it so easy to strike back or to, you know, say things sort of cowardly over social media. You have to kind of ignore that and ask yourself, why did I do this? So when I vote no, it's because I really believe that it's the right thing to do. It's not because I want to stand in the way or be difficult. I hope that whoever succeeds me will understand the independent role council must take. This is not an arm of city government. We're not a department of city government. A strong council and a strong mayor, which is what we have now, is the best form of government for our city.
Elaine Spall, city council member, not for much longer, just through the end of this year, and she is going in another direction. Thank you so much for spending the time with us this morning.
Good morning, Beth. You have a great day. Take care.